Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is from that gospel reading read moments ago. I'd encourage you to pull out your pew Bibles. It's on page 888 as we walk through this text and talk about your missionaries. Yes, it's true. Mission Central is a farmstead with a barn, with buildings, with an old 100-year-old house that serves as the mission headquarters, the mission office. And at Mission Central, we've got about 104 volunteers, and they're special people. They're kind of not normal, like each of you. How many years was it for the anniversary? 56 years. You see, that's not normal. And you've almost got him trained and everything, but what a blessing. Today, you see the hand of God, and you look back on your marriage, the hand of God, 56 years together. The scriptures lists you as not normal people. You know why? You're a not normal married couple, and you've been baptized and a member here since fourth grade. Is that right? Wow. And each of you have a special story to tell too. You are special. You're not normal because Jesus lives in your heart. He's made you his missionary. He marked you on your forehead and upon your heart and washed you clean with the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ earned for you. You see, God gave to save. That's the title of the message. God gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, to save you from your sin and to walk through life with you together, single, married, with kids, without children, or if you're like me, with three teenagers all at once and here in the household giving me gray hair. What a joy it is. There's sacrifice, isn't there, in living the Christian life? There's some inconveniences in our comfortable ways of our days. So we kind of get in habits, don't we? Now, I'm sure, Pastor, and so your habits have changed a little bit where you've lived and worked in the chaplaincy and the military culture in a place that if I asked here how many of the saints have gone to Sierra Leone, West Africa, for vacation to relax and enjoy it, nobody would probably raise their hand because that mission field's not really a vacation spot. And yet God saw you all those years and telling people about Jesus there. This text in verse 1 reminds us of the mission of God. And sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it comes at a time and a place that's not convenient. Here is a Pharisee. A Pharisee of Pharisees. Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews, the scripture says. And that means he was completely immersed in and surrounded by that Judaical legalistic system. It's easy today for us, if you've been a Christian a long time, to start to get caught up in a whole bunch of rules that go far, far beyond what the scripture calls us to be and to have. Some of you might have noticed that I do not have a Lenten purple stole on this morning. Now, a Pharisee, a person of the law that adds up all these extra things that you can do and can't do, and they judged people, they excluded people, they mocked people like the Samaritans, they made fun of them, they pushed more people away because of their rules far past what God had laid down and their ceremonial laws, they'd get very upset. Oh, that guest mission guy from Mission Central. Not only are they working out of a barn in an improper place out there, but this guy shows up without the proper attire. Of course, if you get down to the nuts and bolts of the laws of the church, this is a special Mission Sunday, and if you look into the agenda, you'll see that in the agenda you can have for Mission Sundays, they change the color of the season to all white. So I guess I would be within the laws of legalistic views, and yet it's much simpler than that. Pastor provided me a wonderful stole and cross because I've been on the road telling people about Jesus down in the rural areas in Wyckoff, Minnesota, and up here, and it didn't make it in my packing bag. But do you see the risk of getting all caught up in some of the ceremonial laws of things when this text today keeps Christianity so simple? It's telling others about Jesus. It's letting them know that God the Father gave. He gave it all. He gave to save you and me and this entire world from condemnation. You know, it's not Nicodemus comes at night. Sometimes, those of a mission mindset, Jesus carried this out perfectly. You notice it wasn't the most convenient time for him to be in mission. It was at night. So that means if you're thinking about being a Christian at this time and clocking out, and now this is my time, Lord, well, you're missing the opportunities to tell others about Jesus. I looked at yesterday, and by the way, if you get a chance to give a hug or a thank you or a way to go, Brian, thanks for hosting me last night, Brian. What a joy to get to know you. And we don't stay in hotels and motels, or like you say, no-tels, because that costs money. We don't want missionary money to be spent on hotels. We want it to be spent and to be focused on the mission of the Lord Jesus. And we went in last night to a place I'd never been to. It's Zupa's. Was that where we ate last night? A wonderful soup and sandwich place right here. And looked like, I think it's brand new. And I see that just across the street, it looked like brand new apartment buildings. And the list goes, we were driving around. I thought it looked like a brand new Target, but I guess it's been here for a few years, but you know your community, and there's so many new people in the community. Now, I wonder how many of them know about this Jesus and that God gave to save them. If they came to you at night, if they called you or texted you at night, would you be ready to tell them about Jesus? Or is that too inconvenient? One great thing about this text is it reminds us of the priority of mission day and night to tell others about Jesus. Jesus took him in, and you see the middle of this text, he calls him rabbi. He has a respect. Not every new person in your neighborhood hates you or hates the church. They may be wondering, if they are unchurched, why all these cars show up on a Sunday morning and they go behind these doors and what happens in there? And they have all kinds of curious questions. And they just want to know. And as missionaries, you're called to teach them about this Jesus. Jesus so patiently walks through the text. He says, truly, truly, and he gets right to the heart of the gospel. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you told a new person about Jesus this week or next week, you might find out they have a lot of questions. Born again? Can you go back into your mother's womb? That's what Nicodemus wondered, and be knit together in there all again? That's not what Jesus was talking about. So he goes on to patiently explain, and he repeats himself. You must be born again. And he's referring to being dead in sin and trespasses, and that it's the Holy Spirit, that verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound. You do not know where it comes from, but where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And so we see this teaching of God and the Spirit of God like a rushing wind blowing around. And there on Pentecost, and he came and he gave people tremendous gifts and just the right words and even the gifts of language and various tongues and all of that blowing and work of the Spirit through the living and active Word of God has the basic purpose of bringing people to faith, of having them being born again with a spiritual life and a relationship to the Almighty God that's created heaven and earth. And that purpose of being born again by grace through faith as a gift of God is to bring them into the kingdom of God. And dear friends, until God calls you home, or until Jesus comes back again, this is your primary purpose. Through work and at play, it's to point people to the eternal truths, so that the Spirit works through the Word of God and makes people born again, brought into the kingdom. His Spirit is working among you. He opens doors for you. In this community, one of the gifts I'm going to be presenting, not to Pastor, but Pastor, you're included, but to your church, we are able to give for free to congregations a little search of your neighborhood in about a mile radius. And in there, it has some demographic information, and it also has public information of the names and addresses of who moved into your community. And I'll bet working together, you can tell them about Jesus. They may be looking for a church home. Your missionaries serving around the world. Sometimes their plan for the year, for their day, is radically changed. And that's why today and in Bible class, I've got information right here about a young nurse that's come alongside the pastors and the evangelists. And that nurse had an activity that was not in her plan for her day. And the other five missionaries on the island of Puerto Rico, living in Ponce, which was just a few miles from the epicenter, what came into their life wasn't a Pharisee, it wasn't Nicodemus, but it was something from creation. First one tremor, then another tremor. And before you know it, everybody was so scared. They were outside, and the missionaries themselves left their home, and one missionary grabbed his Bible, grabbed his guitar, could tell something was going on, the tremors. There were 50 tremors, and before you know it, they're outside, out of the buildings, in the park areas and things, sleeping outside, being outside. The news reports and the media said about 40,000 people pushed outside, and thanks be to God. They went outside because then it hit 6.4 on the Richter scale. This adoption agreement shows the devastation of Fountain of Life, Lutheran Church there in Ponce, Puerto Rico, and some of the buildings and the homes around it, shaking and crushing cars. And thanks be to God that none of your missionaries there were hurt or injured. But that wasn't in their plan. And yet God used that risky situation for them to proclaim Christ, because that missionary, Pastor Neuendorf, who pulled his guitar out, he started playing outside, and they started singing, the rest of the team, they started singing praise to the Lord Jesus. And as they describe it, and as you know it, you've experienced this too in your times of stress or times of anxiety or times of getting caught up in pressure from this world, a peace of God which surpasses all human understanding, came upon the group. They had more gospel proclamation, more telling the people that God loves you to save you, not to destroy you. And even though He'll allow this world to shake us up, He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Oh, God causes all situations to work out for His good as you're called according to His purpose in proclaiming Him. You notice there in verse 11 and following, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus is giving Nicodemus just enough law to bring him to repentance and to open his eyes. As you think about, just like it took me a minute, Brian, to figure out, now how is this going to work, and what soup, and how does the sandwich come together? And I was going a lot slower. In fact, the one lady who came in, I said, do you know what you want, what you're doing? And, oh, yes, she'd been there before, and she came right in through the line and got in, and she was eating and enjoying, and it took me a little longer. And it may, as you reach the new neighbors around this church building, they may be very uncomfortable. It may be a ritual, an experience they've never had in their life. It may take them more time. It may take more patience from you. You may, like Jesus with Nicodemus, he didn't go through absolutely everything that was wrong with the Pharisees. But he gave him just enough guidance in speaking the truth of the witness and the love of God in Jesus Christ. And you notice how it culminates this teaching. He kept it very simple. And in verse 14, he referred to something that Pharisee had to have known in the Old Testament. Nicodemus knew the story of Moses. He knew the miracle when the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, what took place. So he was speaking to Nicodemus's worldview, and then he predicted his own death. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was pointing to the cross. He was pointing to the fact that he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. And that's how Nicodemus was saved. And that's how you're saved. And that's how I'm saved. And that's how everyone in your community, in this neighborhood, and in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, in the United States, and in the ends of the earth, that's how they're saved. And he made it so simple. Verse 15, we may not be able to memorize the whole Bible, even the missionaries, Nurse Cray and the others. We don't have the whole Bible memorized, but if you just know that one verse, verse 15, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's the simple message. You have the privilege, the honor, Pastor. Dare we still preach and say like they do? Can we use that term duty? Oh, you bet we can. It's your duty as a baptized child of God, young and old, to tell people about Jesus. You have a great commission, and it's so simple to proclaim his salvation to others. As this text culminates, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the message that you get to share. And it echoes in verse 17, that very last verse, because sometimes people think of this angry God, this punishing God, this God who disciplines and punishes without cause, and it just reiterates that God didn't send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God gave to save. What a great message, dear friends in Christ. And as you think about who you're going to tell about Jesus this week, I encourage you also, if you can't go to Puerto Rico and these lands of darkness, to help out Nurse Cray, to help out your missionaries serving around the world. Adopt them. And God doesn't need your money, but he'll call people, touch them with the Holy Spirit to help. If that's how God's blessed you. But if you don't have a spare dime, maybe he's calling you in your spare time to pray for Nurse Cray and to pray for these missionaries as they proclaim this message to the ends of the earth until Christ comes again. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may this peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.